We need to talk.
You've done something wrong.
Okay.
I'm toast.
Now, I'm not upset.
I'm upset.
I'm just kind of surprised.
I'm a ticking time bomb of volcanic fury.
Because you forgot about yesterday?
Because you are a moron of epic proportions.
Yesterday.
I'm toast.
Yesterday was the 15th anniversary of our first official date.
Oh, that's right. I remember.
I have no memory of that.
Do I need to get some flowers or something?
No.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
No.
Are you mad?
No.
Yes.
You'll remember next year.
I will.
I won't.
So how do you like the casserole?
It's a new flavor.
Tastes like the devil ate a skunk sandwich and vomited into my mouth.
That's my mom's favorite recipe. I grew up on that. Might as well slap my mother in the face.
Well, you know I would never do that. You know I think your mother's wonderful.
Actually, I think your mother's a...
So?
Wanna have sex?
How was your day?
Wanna have sex?
Exhausting.
Don't even think about it, you sex maniac.
Exhausting, huh?
Wanna have sex?
Exhausting.
I'd rather rub broken glass in my eyes.
Do you wanna cuddle?
Wanna cuddle for 2 seconds, then have sex?
My head hurts.
You lay one finger on me and I'll beat you with this lamp, you filthy McNasty.
Okay. Good night.
How about now? You wanna have sex now?
Good morning, Lifeway. Good morning, Lifeway Live. Sometimes we need that in our relationships, don't we? We need those marriage translators to understand what the other person is talking about. Why? Because men and women are created differently, aren't they? Don't believe what the world tells you. Don't believe what society and culture is trying to proclaim and kind of teach us these days, because it's false. It goes against science, because science says there's male and female. And God created us male and female. Amen? That's the way His design is. And so He creates us, each of us, men and women, with different needs and different tendencies, different abilities, different things that we are good at, things that we're bad at. We are different. And so we're continuing our series. And excuse me, I've had drainage and stuff like that. All right, so you're going to have to just bear with that. You may hear me kind of cough a little bit today. If you will, just look over that stuff. All right, so we're continuing our series, Faith and Family, Life in the Blender. Family is important, right? It is instituted by God. It is this very important thing that we have. In fact, for most people, what is most important to them is their family. Okay, I know we put faith up there, but when it comes down to it, most people, what's most important to them is their family. They will do more for their family than anyone else. They will sacrifice. They will risk their life for their family, because their family is very important to them. And so we're continuing in that series, and today we're going to talk about what husband needs from their wives. Okay, what husbands need from their wives. So don't do like the lady in the video and fall asleep right now, okay, ladies? Okay, guys, just because it may not be to you, you need to hear this stuff as well. Because you just wait, next week is your sermon, all right? We'll get to you as well. So like I said, in Genesis chapter 1, we see that God created man and woman. He created them male and female. And when He created them male and female, He gave them different attributes of Himself, because both of us, male and female, are made in the image of God, correct? All right, so that means that there are masculine attributes of God and then there are feminine attributes of God. And so for us guys, we receive the masculine attributes of God. We're made in His image. And for the ladies, you receive the feminine attributes of God, because you are made in His image. And it's because of this, it's because the way we are created, the way that we are designed, men need certain things and women need certain things. We are wired differently. And it's because of this, there's a teaching in the New Testament, it's called the Golden Rule. Have you heard that before? And what does the golden rule say? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And so what's the principle there? Treat others the way you want to be treated. Okay, so when you do that, you are thinking, what do I want? I'm going to treat that person that way so that, you know, everything is good. But the golden rule, this principle doesn't work well in marriage. And the reason being, and what we're fixing to get into that, is because we have different needs. Men have different needs than women. And women, you have different needs than guys. And so when you try to treat others the way you want to be treated, sometimes it kind of backfires. It doesn't meet the need of your spouse. And so that's what we're going to talk about here in just a second. I'll give you kind of some scenarios. But husbands, we each and every one of us, we have certain needs that we need met. And it's our spouse's job to meet those needs. So let's first talk about our greatest need. What is the husband's greatest need? Well, let's read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, and then also verse 33. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, it says this, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body." Let's skip to verse 33. It says this, "Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself." So here there's just a little bit of a clue what next week's sermon is going to be about, guys. But then the wives, listen to this. It says this, "And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." You see, our greatest need as your husband, as men, is respect. That is our greatest need. So what is respect? Well, respect is deep admiration for someone's abilities, qualities, achievements. You see, the reason our greatest need is respect and the reason this golden rule thing doesn't work is because a wife wants to be loved. She wants quality time. That's one of the love languages that women speak most. They want quality time. And so what she does is she plans this nice candlelight dinner. And she's done all this. She wants this quality time with the guy. And the guy comes home from work. He sits down on the couch. He turns the ball game on. And he falls asleep. And what is the wife? Happy or is she mad? She's mad, right? She's ticked. And why is she ticked? Because she's doing for him what she would want to be done for herself. But that's not her need. Now, I'm not trying to bash on the wife. That was a great thought. That was a terrible husband, right? To come home and just fall asleep. But his need is different than what her need is. And so the husband, what he does is he wants respect. And so what he does is he compliments her. He praises her appearance. He praises what she's doing in her job. He praises what she fixed for dessert that night. But it doesn't push her button because that's not what her need is. And so what happens is you have the wife frustrated with the husband and the husband frustrated with the wife because each one of their needs are not being met. You see, respect is the greatest need that a man has, that a husband needs. That's his greatest need. So why is respect so important? Why does it say here the wife must see to it that she respects her husband? Well, showing respect expresses your trust in him. Do you trust your husband? If you do, you show respect to him because it indicates to him, hey, I trust you. I know that you are looking out for me and for my family and for the kids. I know that you are taking the best care of us that you can. I trust you. And so that respect, it reaches out and says, I trust you. It also expresses your belief that he can do hard things, right? A man needs to know that his wife thinks that he can do the impossible. Oh, honey, you can do that. You can fix that leak underneath the sink. There's no way that you need to call a plumber, babe. And maybe he does. And when he gets that done, you're like, oh, that's awesome. We just saved $500. New pair of shoes. Right? But that respect indicates to him, hey, I know that you can do hard things. I know that you're working hard for our family. You're doing this tough stuff, and I appreciate that. It also acknowledges his leadership and discourages passivity. You see, the husband is to be the head of the home. That's the way God designed it to be. He is to be the head of the home. He is to be the person who leads out in spiritual things, in money things, in every situation. He is supposed to be the lead. Now, the wife compliments him there, and they make decisions together. It's not that he's a dictator. He's not to lord and head lord over her, but he is the head of the home. And so when you respect him, it acknowledges his leadership. And I love the last part of that. It says it discourages passivity. So what it does is it says, hey, there's some things for you to do, husband. Because there's so many guys these days that are growing up and they're staying with their mom and dad till they're like 27 years old. And then they get out there and they find a wife and they think all that a husband needs to do is come home, put his feet up on the couch and play some video games. But that is not the way God designed men. He didn't design us to passively lead from the background. In fact, you can't do it that way. He designed us to lead our homes. And when the wife offers respect to her husband, it discourages passivity. And it also provides encouragement and fosters an environment where he will want to meet your needs. It encourages him. Think back when you got married and you had that covenant with each other. You made that covenant, those marriage vows. And what did you say? You said all this stuff, type stuff about loving each other, and you said you're going to do it in sickness and in health. The day that you got married, do you believe that your husband wanted to meet your needs? I think he did. I know I wanted to meet my wife's needs. And that covenant says, I'm going to do that no matter what we're going through. And so when my wife respects me, it makes me want to meet her needs. You see, the way this works is, it's this cycle. And sometimes this cycle can get off. It's the one where the husband's not meeting the wife's needs. And so therefore, the wife doesn't meet the husband's needs. And then there's this tension and this gridlock that occurs. But what happens is when one of the persons, whether it's the wife or the husband, whenever they say, I'm going to step out and I'm going to meet their needs first, even if they don't meet my needs. What happens is you, as the husband starts to meet the wife's needs, the wife starts to meet the husband's needs. Or when the wife steps out and does it first, the husband will want to start to meet her needs. Why? Because when you came together and you married each other because you love each other, right? And hopefully that motivation is the love that we have between each and every one of us. Now, I do want to point something out because a lot of times we think the only time that we need to respect our husband is when he is perfect. Any of you wives married to the perfect guy? But was that? I heard some no's and some yeses. Okay. It says here, the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. It does not have an adjective in front of husband, does it? It doesn't say perfect husband. It doesn't say handsome husband. It doesn't say rich husband. It doesn't say poor husband. It doesn't say strong husband, weak husband, says husband, her husband. And so, wives, your duty is to respect your husband, even when he's not perfect, even when he fails, even when he slips up, even when the choice that he made in his leadership role wasn't the best choice. We're still to have respect, or you're still to have respect for your husband. So a man's greatest need, a husband's greatest need, is your respect. We kind of see this in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verses 10 through 16. And so if you know much about Song of Solomon, it's this love letter between a husband and a wife, and they write passages about each other. And so here we have the wife, she's writing a passage about her husband. And she's showing her respect by offering some words of affirmation. And so let's look at this in verse 10. It says, "My beloved is dazzling and ruddy, outstanding among 10,000. His head is like gold, pure gold. His locks are like clusters of dates and black as a raven." So what she's saying is he's got a nice tan. He's got that nice dark hair. He doesn't have any gray like I get, like I have, I suppose. He's got that nice dark hair. Then she goes on and says, "His eyes are like doves." Okay. All right. Let's keep reading about his eyes. "Besides streams of water, bathed in milk, and reposed in their setting." What she's saying is he's got some good-looking eyes. Okay. I don't know why she just didn't say that. Your eyes are good-looking. But anyways, she's saying, you know, I love looking at his eyes as well. Then moves on. "His cheeks are like a bed of balsam, banks of sweet scented herbs. His lips are like lilies." Ooh. Means she likes to kiss him. All right. "His lips are like lilies, dripping with liquid myrrh." Any of wives, is that the way you describe your husband's lips? Maybe not, huh? But this is the way this wife is describing her husband. In verse 14, it says, "His hands are rods of gold set in beryl. His abdomen is carved ivory and laid with sapphires." Whew. I think that might be the opposite of what I got going on. "His legs are pillars of alabaster set on pedestals of pure gold. His appearance is like Lebanon, choice as the cedars." She's saying this guy looks good, and not only does he looks good, he's strong. He has strength. He's stout. He's a man. And then listen to what she says in the first part of 16. "His mouth is full of sweetness, and he is wholly desirable." Well, what she's saying there is his mouth is full of sweetness. She's already talked about his lips. She's talking about his gentle leadership, how he speaks to her. And so hear this. Let me ask you, the husbands, if your wife wrote something about like this about you, would that make you feel good? Be honest. It might make you feel a little weird, but anyways, if she was describing and she said, you know, what she said about his lips, they're like lilies dripping with liquid myrrh. Yeah, that might make me feel pretty good. Like, oh man, that means she enjoys my lips. Okay? She enjoys that. You see, what this woman is doing is she is encouraging her husband. Every husband, every man needs encouragement. We need those words of affirmation. You see, she spoke highly about him. Wives, I want you to listen to this. You have the power with your words to build your husband up or to crush him. There are times when words are spoken, maybe in the heat of an argument, and something comes out, and sometimes it is laced or just covered in truth. But the only reason it comes out is to tear someone down. Husbands, you've done it as well. It's not just wives. We have to understand our words hurt. They pierce our hearts, and they can stir up some really deep things that a husband or a wife is dealing with at that moment. So you have this incredible ability to build your husband up or to crush him with your words. In the second part of verse 10, it says this is what the wife said about her husband. "He's outstanding among 10,000. What the wife is saying here is, "You are the finest man that I know." Hopefully, wives, your husband, that's the way you think about them. They are the finest man that I know. Now, why would us as guys, why would we need all this encouragement? Because each and every guy, we have a flaw, and that is we have this male ego. This male ego that sometimes shows up that makes us do some awesome stuff like, you know, jump trucks over ravines or whatever. And we're like, yeah! And then, you know, there's also the side of that male ego when we're doing something, when we're making decisions and our wife's trying to counsel with us and we make the wrong decision, we get a bloated head and we choose to do something despite that not being the best thing to do because of our male ego. Sometimes that gets in the way quite a bit. And so we need this encouragement even after some of our mistakes. There was a pastor's wife who she would lead some young ladies, small groups, and also she would kind of mentor wives of young pastors. And so in this small group and in this mentor setting, she encouraged wives to carry around a picture of their husbands from when they're, you know, 6 to 10 years old. Because What does a 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old boy want from his mother? Love, attention, encouragement, right? As well. What does that boy want to hear their mother say about them? You're smart. You're strong. You're the fastest I've ever seen. You're handsome. Best. In fact, you know, the mother's going to say, "Hey, don't let any of the little girls talk to you because you're mine." Right? And the mother wants to encourage that young boy. Why? Because if she discourages him, it will crush that little boy. She wants to encourage him to grow and to become the man of God that God is calling him to be one day. And so the reason this pastor's wife told these young ladies to carry around a picture of their husband is because that man that you're married to is just a grown-up version of that little boy. He needs encouragement. He needs those words of affirmation that encourage him to be the man of God God wants him to be. So maybe if you can dig up an old picture of your husband, maybe save that on as a screensaver on your phone, or if you have a wallet, you carry pictures in there. I don't know if anybody who does that anymore, but you know, if you do that, slide that picture in there. And remember, your husband is that boy grown up, and he needs that encouragement from you. But that's not all of what Solomon's wife said. Let's finish up with verse 16. She says this: "This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." See, not only does your husband need your respect, your encouragement, but he needs you to be his best friend. He needs you to be his best friend. Solomon's wife, she finishes up these words of affirmation by declaring to the daughters of Jerusalem, "He is my friend." Your husband needs you to be his best friend. Now, there are some aspects about a marriage relationship where your relationship with your husband is not going to be like you're one of the guys. It will be different, but you are to be his best friend, his closest companion. You will be the closest relationship in his life, or you should be the closest relationship in his life. A husband longs for his wife to be his best friend. A good friend is someone you are comfortable with being yourself. I can tell you, Lauren can tell you, she'll be better at it, that I guess I hid some things when we were dating, because now we've been married for 14 years or close to 14 years, something like that, and she knows the true me. And I am comfortable being myself around her. Now, sometimes she may say, "I wish you were a little bit less comfortable with that." But the fact is, she's my best friend. And so I can be myself around her. A good friend can be trusted. They're loyal. A best friend knows the bad stuff about you too, don't they? And they choose to stick by you. It's that friend that sticks closer than a brother. See, best friends are not nagging about things. They don't complain about things. They don't belittle. They don't express discontent and unhappiness. Best friends don't have that kind of spirit, do they? Think about your best friend maybe from middle school or high school. There are times that maybe you bumped heads and maybe you fought, but when you wanted to see them, you wanted to be in their presence because they're your best friend. You had things in common. You did stuff together. Your husband wants you to be his best friend. So that might mean somehow kind of getting out of your comfort zone. Now, I know this is bad advice, but anyways, maybe your husband wants you to go to the deer stand with him. Husbands are like, no, I don't want you to go to the deer stand because all you'll do is talk. Right, Keisha? Maybe you go golfing with him. Maybe you go do some of those things. You invest in him because he wants you to be his best friend. So he needs you to be his best friend. He needs your encouragement. And his greatest need is respect. Now, we haven't talked about something, right? And I remember when we were planning the series, as Glenn and I were sitting down and we're talking about this, Glenn says, hey, I'm going to have you talk to the congregation, and I'm going to have you talk to them about what wives need to do for their husband, and specifically, you're going to have to talk about sex. Ha, 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 ha. I'm like, oh, okay, great. All right, thanks. Thanks for dropping that in my lap. It leaves us with our last need. And it's not that this is an exhaustive list. There are more needs that we have, but these are some ones that we can cover today. Here specifically, he needs your physical intimacy. He needs a physical relationship with you. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Now, you ladies are going to love this first verse. I promise you that. It says this, now concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Boom, there it is. Right? There it is. But hold on. Remember, you can't just take one verse out of the Bible. You have to keep it in context. So basically what's happening here is they had written Paul and asked him some things. And so he's going to respond to what they'd asked. And he says, if a man and a woman, if they're not married, it's good for them not to touch. But then let's listen to what he says in verse 2. But because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. Again, sex is only for the bonds of marriage. It is not for to be outside the bonds of marriage. It is only between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. Verse 3, the husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another except by agreement for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. You see, God commands a husband and a wife to have sex. One, for the purpose of having children. That's one of the reasons. But two, because it is their duty spiritually and physically to one another. And when you see the word duty there, it's not to be this laborious thing where it's, oh, I've got to fulfill my duty again. It's not to be like that. It's to be something that you actually, that you look forward to. Why? Because you don't possess your own body anymore, just as he doesn't possess his own body anymore. You are one together. So therefore, you fulfill that duty. You do what is right. Paul says the only reason that you don't fulfill this duty to each other is because you have agreed, the husband and the wife. It cannot be just one party, okay? Y'all hear that? Okay, the wife can't just say, hey, I made it, I'm praying right now. It's an agreement between the husband and the wife, and they're praying. What are they praying about? Maybe they have some tough decisions coming up right now, and they want to focus on what God wants for them in their life. And so they agree at this moment to set aside some things of their marriage so that they can pray about this stuff. But then he says this, you need to come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. You see, out of the five love languages, the one that every guy shares in common is that of physical touch. Every single guy wants physical touch. It's universal. Your husband needs to connect with you on a physical level. And you see, when physical intimacy is lacking, it opens up the door for Satan and the man's flesh to seek it elsewhere. You see, when God created this thing called marriage, He knew what it needed for it to stay intact and survive all that is thrust at it. That's why He tells a woman to respect her husband. That's why He tells a man to love his wife. And that's why He tells each of them that this is their duty to each other. It's important. This is an important aspect of your relationship, this physical intimacy. So maybe that's something that's falling short in your marriage. That's something you can easily correct by making that choice, stepping out and offering that physical touch. So guys, we need this physical intimacy. We also need her to be our best friend. We need her encouragement, and our greatest need is respect. Now I've got a question. What do you do if you've lost respect for your husband? Maybe he has done some things that you've lost respect for him, some decisions that he's made, some sin that continues to live in his life. So what do you do when you've lost respect for your husband? Well, you've got to go to Jesus Christ and ask for His help. You've got to ask for His help with your husband, but also for you. Ask for Him to help you respect your husband, to show you the attributes about your husband that are good, show you how hard your husband's working for you and for your family. Pray to Jesus and confess those feelings to Him. And remember this, Christ loved you and He died for you. And did you deserve that? No, none of us did. None of us deserve what Christ did for us on the cross. Not a single person. And so if Christ can reach out and He can love us when we don't deserve it, then indeed we can sit there and the wife can respect her husband even though he doesn't deserve it. And the husband can love his wife even though she may not deserve it. You see, what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to be an example of Christ to each other. In fact, this is what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says this, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word." So what he's saying there is this, that if you have a husband that has been disobedient to the word, meaning he does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he has not believed in Jesus Christ, he says, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. And so you offering your husband respect can even lead to their salvation, is what Peter is saying. That's powerful. And we should, each and every one of us, husbands and wives, we should use our relationship with Jesus Christ to draw the other person closer if we can by the way we treat them, the way we show Christ's love to them. I want to close with this story. There is a man and a woman, and this is some time ago because they lived actually during the Great Depression. And they'd been married for 50 years. Most of their marriage, the guy seemed very, very cold and distant. His kind of routine is he'd come home from work, he would sit down in his chair, he would read the paper, he'd listen to the radio. And so this relationship between this man and this woman was not very close. And so after 50 years of marriage, they're in the kitchen together. He's sitting at the table. He's reading his paper. And she's cooking up a meal. And so she gets a break from the meal. She comes over and she sits down at the table. and she tells him, "Hey, I want to say something to you." So he folds his paper, puts it down, and she says, "I just want to say I appreciate you. Thank you for the way that you provided for us these many years. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for all that you've done." And the guy, he starts tearing up, and then he begins to weep. And he stands up from his chair, and he goes and he embraces his wife. And she is in shock. This has not happened in 50-something years of their relationship. Here he is sobbing and embracing her. What is going on? What happened? What did you read in the newspaper? But then it dawns on her. The reason he hadn't opened up and embraced her before is because she hadn't offered that respect to him. She didn't encourage him. She didn't say those kind words to them. And in that one moment, her actions, what she chose to do by stepping up and saying something kind to him, broke him down and made him embrace her and show her a great amount of love right then and there. So wives, respect your husband. Give him his greatest need. And follow along with all the others as well. Because what God wants is strong marriages. A husband who loves his wife. And a wife who respects and loves her husband. That's what God wants. And that's what this world desperately needs. At this time, let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for all that you've done, Lord. Thank you for your grace and mercy that you have poured out upon us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, we didn't deserve anything that you've done for us. We didn't deserve that unconditional love that you so freely offer to us. But your Son hung there on the cross, died for our sins, so that we may have this relationship with you. God, I thank you so much for that. Lord, I pray that you would help the marriages here at Lifeway, that you would build strong marriages, that husbands would love their wives, and they would be the kind of person, the man of God that you want them to be. And I pray that you would help the wives to respect her husband. Offer the words of affirmation. Admire him. Build him up. And be his best friend. And have that physical intimacy with him. I pray and ask that you would take these words and the songs today, and it would be for your honor and for your glory. And if anyone is here today and they do not know you as their Savior, that they will understand that they are a sinner according to God's word. And so they repent, they turn away from that sin and turn to God. They believe who Jesus Christ is. And what your word says is that they will be saved. I pray that they will do that today. And anybody online who's listening would do that as well. Just ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.